This is John Ragnell speaking. We have our tape recorder set up in the University of Illinois Young Men's Christian Association, where 16 portraits by the noted artist Guy Rowe are on exhibit. These portraits are of particular interest because Rowe has pictured great figures of the Bible as living, breathing men, women, and children. To many people, the paintings will be fascinating for the fresh light they throw on familiar and beloved characters. Standing here with me are Mr. William Black and Mr. Robert Matsky, program secretaries of the YMCA, and Mr. Larry Cadwell, who's the executive secretary. We're standing before the painting entitled Ruth and Naomi, which, according to a recent attendance poll, was the favorite of the greatest number of spectators in this area. Mr. Black, I wonder if you'd venture a statement as to why this particular painting was so popular.
Well, John, as we look at this painting, I think we're seeing here Guy Rowe at his best in terms of what he tried to do. He tried to make these characters live for us as women, contemporary women, that represent the ideals of womanhood, of motherhood in our world. And I think the qualities of faithfulness, of genuine love and affection, of loyalty, are caught as Guy Rowe has given us these in this picture, Ruth and Naomi, the great story of the Bible of the mother and the daughter-in-law who face life together.
What about the portrait of Joseph and his brethren?
Well, Joseph and his brethren, this portrait here to my left is my favorite. I feel that Guy Rowe has caught here in the young Joseph the qualities of courage. As we see Joseph, he's untouched by the scorn of the brethren who are around him here.
Well, I was rather impressed by this portrait of Joseph and his brethren myself. And the figure of Joseph is certainly attention-drawing and very human. He's surrounded, as he is, by the evil, gesturing brothers of his. I understand that several comments were connected with the polling. Mr. Matsky, perhaps we might use some of them as a basis of our discussion and a little criticism here. What were some of the remarks?
Well, a goodly number of people have commented on what an excellent job the artist has done in translating his ideas of the biblical characters into something really acceptable and universally represented today. They pointed out that the figures only really need breath to make them live. Someone else has commented as their eyes and their mouths are practically windows of the soul. The expressions are very pointed. They're just alive and they're living is the comment that's made over and over again.
Well, Mr. Matsky, was there much unfavorable comment to them?
No, not much unfavorable comment. However, some thought that they were journalistic and unworthy because they expressed the American prototype rather than the ancient Hebrew faces. However, I think that they were far in the minority because most people want those stories to be something that's alive today.
My feeling on that would be, who's to say what the ancient Hebrew faces looked like in the first place? Where did he get his material and so forth? That's an opinion, of course, but that's the way I feel about it. It seemed to me that the last comment was a justification of the paintings. That is, Rowe was attempting to picture biblical figures as real people today, and it was his hope that this would aid others in understanding the Bible better.
Well, I think that is, or should I say was, the primary concern of the artist and of the author, Mr. Hart, in the original intention of bringing these figures from the Old Testament and making them not grotesque and unfamiliar characters of the past that we read about and imagine how horrible or how wonderful they were, but rather that they do act and did act, I should say, like our neighbors and our friends that we meet every day on the street.
Well, Mr. Matsky, I might mention to our listeners here that you have several comments on cards that people have turned in. I wonder if it wouldn't be interesting if you just read a few of these comments to let them know exactly what people thought about and how they felt as they viewed the picture.
Well, I have here simplicity of the emotions are tremendous. It's not so much the expression by the background material, but by the very characters themselves. The marvelous comments again and again on the marvelous strength and character and lifelikeness of the individuals. It's interesting to see at times on some of the cards how people who haven't studied the real background of the characters too well, but remember their Sunday school stories of the Old Testament characters are a little defiant against the interpretation of certain characters. Some think that Jeremiah should be a little bit more weeping than he is haughty, and Solomon has been misrepresented as praying in a dream sequence.
You mean that as their studies have shown them, they feel that these paintings are slightly misrepresentative of the characters that they understood as children and as members of churches?
Yes, I think that's true. I can remember one comment that one person was just made a terse. Jacob is pictured too young.
He thought he should be old. I see. Well, do you think that the unique method in which these portraits were done might have caused the comment that they were journalistic, as you said before?
I think that that is the basis for such comment. Guy Rowe, of course, who is noted for his Time magazine cover work, immediately identifies him with the journalistic. Mm. He's the one responsible for developing the technique on those covers.
Well, it certainly is a different method, Mr. Rowe, that he's used. And, well, could you tell us something and our listeners something about this method and if it was his own invention?
Well, yes and no. First of all, the technique that he has used is definitely modern because it involves acetate sheets, which might be expressed as cellophane sheets, painting on the back or the reverse side. Now, he started off by attempting to put watercolor on the back because in his Time magazine covers, he had been able to express himself quite vividly with colors, that way, watercolors. And in working on the back of the cellophane, he was attempting to make watercolor stick to cellophane, and so he was putting on a sticky varnish to make it adhere. Well, in the process of this, he picked up a grease pencil, very much like we use to mark china or the grocery store marks the price label. Mm-hmm. And he sketched one of his characters, and then he happened to turn it over and looked at it, and he was so impressed by the depth of color that he began to proceed with the art of grease pencil, and in fact, he started to manufacture some different color techniques. Well, now this is where it isn't modern anymore, because at this stage he goes back to the ancient Egyptians and the ancient Greeks, because they used to decorate their caskets and the walls. Well, actually, the ancient caves are colored with these pigments, and it's known that the natives actually would take the fat from an animal that they were trying to portray to try to get the characteristic of the animal involved into it. Well, what's interesting in this comment here is that Mrs. Rowe and the development of this thing began to save the fats from the cooking during the time, and it began to be developed into the grease paints that Rowe put on the back of these pictures. Now, to get his figures, he would use a pocket knife and shade the colors thin, or etch in the figures and the lines. And then over on above this, to give it the final background cover, he would put white, he found that white enamel put on very lightly so that it wouldn't smear the grease paints. And then while it was still tacky, just good and sticky, he would adhere it to the cardboard base or background. Now when you turn the thing over, you will recognize that the artist has had to work backwards, and he comments himself that for a while he had to develop a new technique because what paints usually go on last had to go on first, and vice versa. So that in one or two cases where he signs his name, he forgot that he was working backwards, and so you'll find on the actual pictures here his name spelt backwards, Guy Rowe, which he indicates as G-I-R-O rather than his full name.
Mm-hmm. So the result of all this is a brilliant, sharp portrait, which I understand also makes excellent copy for reproduction purposes. Well, turning back to our exhibit for a minute, I think that the portrait entitled Creation is a very good example of the thing we're discussing here, because, well, we see the figure of a man in the foreground. He's a center of attraction, and representing the moment on the sixth day when man becomes a living soul. And in the background are the symbols of the first 5 days, showing the interesting tones and qualities achieved through the etched grease process. It's sort of surprising to me that the artist didn't set out to be an artist originally and that he actually had little formal schooling. Mr. Black, I wonder if you could supply some additional biographical material about Guy Rowe.
Well, two phrases. First, he's definitely a character in the way we use that word nowadays, and he's a person who really got around. His formal schooling was very limited, spent most of his early life working in mines, as a cowhand, a mechanic, a bill collector, an acrobat, and a lumberjack. He did some chalk artist work as part of a circus team where he sketched people in the audience. But about 1913, he began to attend classes, night school classes, and become really and professionally interested as a portraiture artist. And Time Magazine, as has already been mentioned, hired him on their staff to do the covers for several years, and it's through that medium that he became best known. And it was because of his work there that Mr. Hart picked him up to do the job that he had done in this book, In Our Image.
Well, his work on the Time Magazine covers then more or less converted him from these other jobs he had and made him make up his mind to actually be an artist of one sort or another.
That's right, John, and it's a well-known fact by Mr. Rowe's own admission now that he is going to devote the rest of his life to religious art and continue this same sort of work. At the moment, he's working on New Testament characters, and a book similar to the book In Our Image will come out, we hope, not too many years hence, about the New Testament with more portraits by Rowe.
Well, in my opinion, he certainly is the outstanding man in this field of religious art. Of course, I know that this exhibit here was brought here in connection with the university's Festival of Contemporary Art, but I wonder if there are any other showings of them in the state or even in this part of the country.
To our knowledge, John, the pictures have appeared only in Peoria. That's where they were before I came here. And we're shipping them on to a friend's meeting in Philadelphia for the next showing.
Well, now I'd like to speak a moment to Mr. Larry Cadwell, who is the executive secretary of the YMCA here. Didn't the Y sponsor a series of gallery talks in connection with this exhibit?
Yes, John. We were happy to have the privilege of drawing upon some of the religious leadership of the campus for interpretations of a half dozen of these paintings. We held gallery talks on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons and had two special Sunday afternoon sessions of particular interest for church members of Champaign and Urbana. In asking our friends from the Religious Workers Association to present these talks, we were particularly interested in having them interpret for us the religious significance of these paintings. We have not attempted to interpret in any technical sense the art quality of these paintings, inasmuch as there have been talks of that character scheduled at the University Contemporary Arts Festival. We tried to concentrate here on these paintings in terms of their religious interest.
Well, Mr. Cadwell, what would you say the general attitude of religious leaders was to the exhibit?
Surprisingly enthusiastic. I was first impressed by the readiness with which these very busy men agreed to take time to come and be the leaders on our gallery talks. Later, as they became acquainted with the pictures themselves, each man found himself drawn to the character that he was seeking to interpret and managed to make these people live for us through their presentations regarding them. I'm thinking particularly of the fine work which Father Duncan did when he interpreted for us the painting of the Creation, and the services of Rabbi Berkowitz interpreting the picture David and Nathan. We're very happy for the help which these men have given us.
Well, unfortunately, the exhibit will no longer be open for the public, but listeners might be interested to know that these same portraits, plus 16 others, that's 32 in all, have been published in book form and with narratives. The book's entitled In Our Image and published by the Oxford University Press. We talked today with Mr. William Black and Mr. Robert Matsky, program secretaries of the University Young Men's Christian Association, and Mr. Larry Cadwell, who's the executive secretary. Here on exhibit are Guy Rowe's religious paintings. Mr. Rowe's portraits are modern interpretations of biblical figures brought to the campus in connection with the University's Festival of Contemporary Arts. Now, this is John Regnell speaking and returning you to our studios.